In my lifetime, I have heard some great preachers. I have heard Rolf Barnard, that mysterious man, they called him the flood preacher. I heard R.G. Lee speak of the glory of Christ. I heard B.B. Caldwell, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard in my life. A fellow I knew called him to preach a meeting for him one time, and he called me and told me about it, invited me to come, and I said, "Do you know who you've invited?" And he said, "Not really. I just heard he was a good preacher." You're in for an experience. And it was an experience. Some of you remember Wilbur Johnson. He preached for us several times. I loved Wilbur Johnson. Wilbur told me one time when I was a young man in my late 20s, early 30s. He said, "David, I'm going to die before too long. And when I die, I hope that you continue to preach the same things that I do, because," he said, "I know these people make fun of me and they call me Election Johnson, but they invite me because people come to hear." And he said, "I want you to make sure you preach that same message." I remember an old man, he's been dead now for a few years, David West. He started over 35 churches in the state of Georgia during his ministry. He was a great preacher. I loved him and his wife to death. A friend of mine, I never met him, but a friend of mine told me one time he had Arthur Pink come to preach for him. And he sent Arthur Pink a telegram and told him, said, "We're honored to have you come and preach for us, and you're going to stay in our parsonage with my wife and I and our 9 children." He said 2 days later he got a telegram from Pink and said, "I'm looking forward to coming and holding a meeting and preaching for you, but I ain't staying nowhere with 9 children." I hear LaSere Bradley on the radio every Sunday morning. He's in his 80s now. One of the greatest preachers I ever heard. Won't be here long. W.W. Criswell was a great preacher in Dallas, Texas. And Billy Graham was a prophet to this nation. I don't know what sidetracked him. He got away from what he believed, and he got away from preaching what made him well known, but he was a great preacher. God used him to speak to my heart. Many of those men are now in heaven. Some of them have departed from the paths of the truth. There are others who still serve in the ministry of God's grace. See, the majestic work of God is repeatedly demonstrated in and through His chosen preachers. In 1968, in the second Sunday of June, I preached my first sermon. I'd been saved about a year, and God called me to preach. And an old prayer warrior, old friend of mine I prayed with a lot, took me into a Sunday school room before we went into the auditorium, and he read to me this passage from the book of Jeremiah. And he told me to pay no attention at all to the people. He said, "You're not here to entertain them. You're not here to please them. He told me to remember that God called me to preach. And it would be God's message that I would bring. That God sent me there for that purpose, and God would equip me, and God would enable me to preach His word. And I have remembered that wise old man's words for almost 50 years. It is not the messenger who changes lives. It's the message. And if you do not have God's message and God's enablement, and you're a preacher, then you ought to seriously assess whether you're called to preach. I preach in conferences all over this country, and I hear a lot of men stand up and talk, but they're not preaching. And what they're preaching, what they're talking about, is not the Word of God. That bothers me. It concerns me a great deal. I want to bring you a message this morning that I have entitled The Power of God's Man. And we'll look at this book of Jeremiah here. First of all, we find here that God designates Jeremiah to be His servant. In the fourth verse, it tells us the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It wasn't his mama, his grandma, his daddy, his preacher, a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher. It was the word of God. And any man who preaches this book better know he's got a call from God. My grandmother, when I was 7 or 8 years old, told me, when you grow up, God's going to make a preacher out of you. And I didn't believe her for 1 minute. And all the years that I spent as an atheist, I certainly didn't believe it. In fact, I avoided her in her old age because I didn't want her to remind me of that. And when God saved me, and later on He called me to preach, I immediately remembered that. God ordained this man, Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations. He was to speak to all who would hear. He was to speak to those who wouldn't hear. He had a word of divine counsel to speak to the people of the Hebrew nation. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, it says, "From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." God said, "You're not going to mount anything." He was a messenger to them. And he was a messenger of disaster to the Gentiles. The Old Testament's not good news for Gentiles. He was a spokesman to all nations, to Jew and Gentile alike, to warn them of God's justice against sin. That's what we're to preach. God's justice against sin. God is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Oh, He's compassionate and loving and merciful, but He's primarily holy. And He wants His men to tell people that. I run into people all the time that want me to tell them everything will be all right. I can't tell you everything's going to be all right. I don't know that. I don't know that. But I'll tell you this much. If you're resting in Christ, and you're trusting in Christ, everything will be all right. He was chosen of God in eternal counsel before He was even born. "Before I formed thee," it says in verse 5, "in the belly I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." He was chosen of God before He was born. It's that way for every man of God. He, the God who gave him life also gave him this commission. I'm surrounded by preachers that are constantly retiring. One asked me not long ago, when are you going to retire? I'm going to die. God never told me to quit preaching. I've looked this book over from Genesis to Revelation. I've read it several times through. And I find God calling men to preach. I don't find anywhere in this Bible where he told anybody to retire. I might get where I don't pastor anymore. But I'm going to preach this book as long as I can preach. He was given life by God in order to carry out this commission. You see, the sovereign God chooses who he wants to serve him in ministry. I know men that are gospel preachers, and they just don't have the characteristics that the world thinks a minister ought to have. And I'm one of them. I mean, they're greener than gourds. Rougher than that old corn you're going on old red cobs. But if God has called a man to preach, then that man better preach. And he better preach God's message. I deal with too many young men that think God's called them to preach, and they got them a book of sermons, and they're trying to get something out of it and work it out where it'll fit them, and they can make it sound good and amaze the crowd. Listen to me. Sovereign God chooses who he wants to preach his word. And that's the declaration of true men of God everywhere. Every man that I know of, last time I saw Henry Mann, we were talking about this. Henry's 92 years old. In Galatians 1:15 it says, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen." That was the Apostle Paul. That was his testimony. God distances men, and he calls them to chosen service. I've been in the church up in West Virginia where Rolf Barnard one night was preaching, and he told the people that there's a little creek runs through the middle of that town. It's not that deep and about that wide. He told the people that night, if you folks don't repent, God's going to bring judgment on this town. And that night it started raining, and it rained all night long, and that creek got up, and it washed half that town away. It was a big logging community. Washed the sawmill away and the log stacks away, and tore houses down and stores down. And after that, they called him the ghost preacher, the flood preacher. People were scared to death of Rolf Barnard. God distances men. He separates them from the crowd. And he calls them to serve him. He knew what he would do with every man before he made him. Now, the world wants preachers to get famous. They want to get big churches with big crowds and be worldwide known, be on the television and communications and all these things like this. Listen to me. God has purpose for every man he calls. I know for me, it has been God's purpose to be your pastor since 1973. And it still is. God's given me opportunities. He's let me preach in conferences all over the country and in other countries just in the last few years through the internet, we've been able to preach to people in many states and many countries around the world. I don't even know them. I'll never meet them except in heaven. But that's God's purpose. What God chooses His men to do, He will call them to do. And His purposes can never be defeated and never be frustrated. I have to tell you, when I was a young preacher, sometimes I'd get so frustrated I didn't know where I was at. I've sat back there in that study many times and thought, what in the world am I going to preach this morning? And walked up here and got in this pulpit and God gave me something to say. Now that's not normal. God expects His men to study and to pray and seek His face. But sometimes He does that just to teach you who's in charge. He has a particular purpose for each and every one of those people that He calls. Some men are called to be world known, worldwide known. Others are small town preachers. Brother Mark Williams pastors one of the smallest churches that I know of and has for over 20 years, and he's faithful to them and faithful to those people and faithful to the ministry. And I tell you what, he's a great preacher as far as I'm concerned. He destines them and He forms them for the purpose of preaching His word. Unfortunately, Jeremiah tries, very modestly I'll say, but he tries, to decline the opportunity given him by God. Look at verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Does that remind you of another verse of Scripture? It does me. Moses said, Lord, I can't talk. And God said, you got a brother who can talk. He's coming up the road right now. You just tell him what to say and he'll say it. As Moses got braver and got to know the Lord more, he got where he was talking more, but he started out with another voice. You see, God's call was a shock and surprise to Jeremiah. He was stunned. God would call me? I can understand that. Because I felt exactly the same way. We don't know what God's purpose is for us. There's not a person here this morning, you know. The children that are here. I have no idea what God's going to do with you. And you don't have any idea what God's going to do with you. Some of you that are older, you think you know what God's going to do with you, but I'm telling you, He ain't done with you yet. A friend of mine that was called to preach last year, he's 69 years old. Just called to preach. God's mighty call was a surprise to this humble man, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah resists God's call because he questions his qualifications. Most men that I know of who God calls to preach, they question their ability. I know I did. In fact, I shouldn't tell you this, but sometime I'm plain spoken, and I said to the Lord, when He called me to preach, you got to be kidding. I've got to be misunderstanding you. He feared to stand before the kings and the multitudes of people who God called him to declare His merciful message to. Jeremiah preached to kings. He preached to emperors. He preached to generals of armies. He preached to beggars and harlots and drunks. You see, God doesn't let you choose the audience. He just gives you a message. Says, go tell it. He fears that he can't speak properly. When I first was called to preach, I still read a lot of sermons. I used to read Charles Spurgeon's sermons, and I'd think, man, this cat could preach. I wish I could go back to 1850 and hear him preach. I thought, I'll never be able to preach like that. And I can't preach like that. But God didn't call me to preach like that. God called me to preach like me. To preach His Word. We don't feel adequate to serve God. And I tell you, I still pray every time I come out here. Lord, I'm just a man. I can't tell these people what you want. You can tell them. And God says to me, I'll tell them through you. He questioned his authority. When you read the Gospels, you'll find this statement made several times that the people were moved by his authority. He spoke with authority. And I'll tell you what, God's men who are called of God will speak with authority. I go to conferences and I preach, and half the men there sound like they're trying to sell hubcaps to put on a 59 DeSoto. The men of God speak with God's authority, not their own. They speak God's message, not their own. They speak for God's purpose, not their own. All who are truly called of God fear and question their ability to declare God's glorious message. And I do too. We fear that God's honor will be disgraced by our own inability. I'm frightened. I hate Saturday nights. I do. I've studied all week. And I sit around on Saturday night and think, I don't know if I can do this or not. Now, God gets me up every Sunday morning, and he gets me moving and points me in a general direction, gives me something to say, takes what I've studied and makes his message out of it. But it took me a long time to grasp that. We should have very low thoughts of ourselves. These preachers that run around blowing their own horn, I don't know who or what's going to be in heaven, but there ain't going to be no peacocks there. And there ain't going to be no game roosters there strutting around showing off. And there ain't no reason to be around here strutting around. The pulpit's the loneliest place on earth. I'm telling you what, I've been here. I've been up here by myself, and this is a lonely place. But when God comes to you and he speaks to your mind and he speaks to your heart and he speaks to your soul, you can declare his word. And you'll enjoy it. I love to preach. I do. I'd rather preach than do anything I know of. I do lots of things. I go to football games and basketball games, and I go shopping, and I cook, and do this, that, and the other. But more than anything else, I love to preach this blessed word. I do. And then there's an assurance that God gives to every man he calls. I want to be nice about this, but I want to tell you something. There are a lot of men standing in pulpits preaching this morning that aren't called of God to preach. They aren't. And God's preachers generally can hear one and know it. The called of God do not need to fear if God's called them. In the seventh verse, he says, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and wheresoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." He said, you don't need to be afraid, because wherever I want you to go, I'll send you. And when you get there, I'll give you something to say, and you'll say it. I'm always scared to death if I'm going to get there, and I'm always scared to death if I'm going to have anything to say. And the truth of the matter is that if God wants me to go, he'll send me there. And if God gives me a message to speak, he'll give me the grace to speak it. God calls his men and ignores all issues of age or of training. Sir Bradley's in his 80s. God called him to preach when he was 14 years old. He was a great preacher when he was 14 years old. He's still a great preacher. People are always worried about your education. They graduate 200 or 300 at the seminary every year in Louisville. And they would know the word of God if it fell on their heads and drowned them. Our frailty ought to make us hesitant. And it does, but if God calls, you better go. If God calls, you better go. I don't have the time, but sometime I'll tell you a story about how God taught me that lesson. It was an interesting story. The presence of God sets aside all hindrances and all limitations. I went to a conference back in January, and I heard a man preach that had no legs. He had legs, this don't work. And he had two arms, and they didn't work. He had one hand that he could move about that much. And he had one of those chairs with a stick on it, and he'd move that chair and get around. He was paralyzed from his chest down. But I'll tell you what, his soul wasn't paralyzed. That man was called of God. And he had a message from God. And he preached the message of God. And I rejoiced. Samuel delivered a message from God to Eli while he was a child. 1 Samuel 3:16, then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," and he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto you." And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth to be good." What he told Samuel was, "Your sons are too no good for nothing, dead, dried skunks, and I'm going to kill them." And when he heard that from the voice of this young boy who God had called, he said, "It's the Lord, let him do what he will." The man who's called of God must ignore his enemies and his opposition. In verse 8 it says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." The man of God has a message from God, and that message must be declared. The ambassador of the King of Kings will see the defeat of God's enemies. He won't do it. God will do it, but he'll see it. You see, a message from God masks the face of his enemies. Ezekiel 3:9 says, "As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, so they be a rebellious house." I've dealt with some of those people in this town and in other places I've been. I remember preaching a meeting in a church in Georgia, and some deacons were ready to hang me after the meeting, and I told the pastor, I said, "You call me down here to come preach God's word to you, I'll get in my car and I'll go home right now. You people don't want to hear God's word, I'll go back to Kentucky." I stayed and preached for 5 more days. And in 2 weeks, that pastor called me and told me, "Oh, God came down this morning." But even if God does not deliver, he will always lift up his servants. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'd rather be alone with God than in the company of 100,000 that don't know God. God goes with all those that he sends, and he is with them at all times. Acts 18:10 says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Everyone the devil's got, God's got 2, or 3, or 4, or 10. You don't need them, just need him. The servant must not fear if he cannot speak, because God will enable him to speak. Men ought to speak intelligently. That's why they ought to study. And they ought to speak with an acquaintance with God. When a man preaches, you ought to know if he knows God or not. You should. I hear a lot of men preach and there's not a bit of God in them. And I don't want to waste my time listening to them. But if God's in a man, I don't care whatever flaws he's got. I want to hear his message. God fills their mouths and he speaks through their hearts. Ezekiel 3:4 says, "He said unto me, Son of man, go and get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them." These men are to speak with the authority of God. They're not speaking on their own. They're not speaking with their authority. They're not speaking to represent. They're there as spokesmen of God. Whatever you think of him, the President of the United States has a lot of power. And when he sends an ambassador out, that ambassador doesn't go with his power, or his ability, or her ability. He goes with the President's authority. God's men are set aside to declare his message to the nations. I'm preaching the same thing. I've learned a lot of things in the last 45 years, but I'm preaching the same message I preached in 1973. And I'm going to preach it till I die. That man must warn the people he preaches to of God's infinite holiness and God's infinite justice. And I aim to tell you every time I stand up here that God's holy and that God's just. And if you have any hope of justice, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ and only in him. It's not in who you are, where you're from, what you've done, who you've been, what you're going to be. God will ratify and fulfill His word as it's delivered. In Isaiah 44:26, it says, "That confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof." God's message. The honor and ability of the prophet is the unrestrained power of God. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." You know, the power of the ministry is entirely in God's hands. It's not in the servant's hands. It's in God's hands. In God we have a superabundance of the power that's needed to minister. I tell the people I deal with, I'm intimidated by them in the flesh. But God gives you grace to deal with men and women based on His word. We must look only to God. That's the only place I'm looking. To provide for us and to protect us and to preserve us. I'm His servant. And I call on each and every one of you to remember this basic truth. Seek a preacher from God. A preacher who remembers this critical point. It is God that matters and not you. Not you. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Since 1968, I've been preaching this gospel. Since 1968, God has given me a message. Since 1968, I haven't been concerned with who people are, what they are, where they're from, or anything else. I just want to know one thing. God, have you got a message for me? Give it to me and let me preach. The power of God's being.